Blog Talk Radio.
When your customers call, the last thing you want them to hear is this.
Please hold. Your call is important to us.
Introducing OneTalk from Verizon. Now your desk phone and smartphone can work together on one number, so customers can find you wherever work takes you. And you can put your customers first, not on hold. Click the banner to learn more about OneTalk and see why more small businesses choose Verizon. Because in business, better matters. One Talk capable desk phone must be purchased from Verizon to support some of these features. Results based on third-party study.
Blog Talk Radio.
Granted us a divine divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful shield for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. And this is the voice of the voices, the platform for black liberation and freedom. This is the Star and Crescent Report. This is part two of our two-part series, When the Lights Go Out, Will You Be Ready? And as we left off on the old show, on the first show, I should say, about the economic malaise or chaos that is now overtaking America, and we said we was going to transition to show you how that is connected to the geopolitical pause and how all of these things run down straight through prophecy. So we'll put that in line, but I want to refresh your memory on the last show by going back to a couple of clips as the show was going off so that we can give the people who are new listeners to the show an insight of how the show was last time, because we have some clips that must be played. And this will give you an explanation of why America is so mad, why she's being so devious. And let's go back to something also, as I told you on the last show. As we were speaking, I said that it was given to us, some of us, by strong believers and followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that there would come a time that you would have to come off the streets, and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to not to take part in the protests and the marches, especially in a time where the devil would be fallen. Because the more you go out in the street and antagonize this beast as he's losing his wealth, his power, his influence, and his domination over world politics, world finances, he's going to be enraged, and the one whom he's used to aiming his guns at are you. And he would use them and kill them. And as I said that on the day before yesterday, what happened yesterday? They were protesting in California. It turned violent. The police started shooting people. This is what we're talking about. We're trying to enlighten you to the time. Most of you, and I know you hear this, but most of you don't understand the significance of time. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that more than anything else, we must understand time. Because if we are out of time, and we're trying to put something over on time, and a person that has to do something in time is on time, then guess what happens to you? You're pushed to the wind. You may have good intentions. You may be feeling hurt, and you may want to be a part of what they're doing out there. But this is no longer the time for that. This is the time for God to act the way he has predicted that he would act through the mouth of his prophets and apostles and messengers. And he is going to bring America to her knees. And if you are in the gun line, as they say on the old movie, what is it, Life, don't go on the gun line, boss. You can get shot. You can get killed because you don't know your place in this time.
100 trillion. We're getting word from the HSBC's chief of technical analysis. He just sent out a major warning. What is that warning? He says, unless the markets can take out their September highs, we could very well see a repeat of the 1987 crash. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average formed a head and shoulders top when it violated its neckline. We saw this back in 1987. It had then failed to attempt to reclaim the neckline, which resulted in the market rolling over into the famous crash in 1987. We are seeing the same thing happen right now. We're seeing the same exact pattern. And we can see Murray Dunn, the chief of technical analysis, is saying that we're seeing the exact pattern today. And if it continues on, we will be in a crash scenario. And from looking at the 1987 crash, we're not that far off. It could happen at any moment. And we can see there's a lot of black swans that might be the catalyst that brings the economy down. Deutsche Bank, for one. We know Germany is not making any plans to rescue the bank. Well, of course, that's what they're saying. This is what governments, central banks usually do. They tell you that we're not going to save the bank, we're not going to do anything for the bank, and then all of a sudden, they have this incredible plan to save the bank. Maybe this plan is the balance. This is why Germany has been telling their people to prepare. Because they realize once this goes, this is going to be a complete disaster. And this is why everyone should get prepared. This is why everyone should get ready. You shouldn't sit there and wait and say, you know, I've been hearing about this for a long time, and yeah, I see things deteriorating. I see everything being manipulated. You know, the stock market's not real, but you know what? I'm not going to do anything. But you know, when that time comes, you're going to wish you had. So whatever you need to get, I would start ramping up on those purchases. I would buy extra food, extra water, batteries, maybe lanterns, a weapon, definitely. Gold and silver as an insurance policy, cash on hand. Because as we know, when the system comes down, we're not just going to say, okay, get rid of your cash, throw it out the window, let me go grab the gold and silver. No, what happens is people still use cash. You don't use your gold and silver. You keep that someplace safe. Because what's going to happen during the crash, people are going to be running around. People are going to say, okay, I can't get my supplies. People are going to be rushing into supermarkets. Look what happens during Christmas when they have Black Friday sales. And people run into Walmart just to get a laptop or maybe a DVD player or something ridiculous. They push people out of their way. They step on them. What do you think is going to happen when people have to go get food for their family, water for their family, stock up on supplies for their family? They're going to push and shove and beat people to get what they need. We see it in Venezuela. So when this happens, you're going to need cash because the stores are going to accept it. They will accept cash in the beginning. And of course, what we'll see as the system continually breaks down, the petrodollar implodes on itself, we're going to see inflation, of course. Because all those countries, they no longer need to hold the reserve currency. So those dollars will float back. Float back to the United States. We'll have a lot more currency floating around here, which will then make the inflation that the central bank wants so badly. But it will turn into hyperinflation. Things will go up rapidly. You use your paper money for this period of time. Because as the value declines and declines and declines, you want to get rid of it. Try to get whatever you can while you can get it. And then eventually, it'll be worth absolutely nothing. And then all you have left is what you've stored up, food, water, toiletries, your weapon, and your precious metals. hopefully you have medicines just in case someone's sick. These are the things that you need to do, and it looks like we're getting closer and closer to that point.
in this time is in the bosom of God. This is your safety zone. This is your protection. This is your bunker that will protect you against any of these bunker-busting bombs that the devil may throw at you. I want to assure you of these things. So, we see an economic collapse, and they're talking about the eventuality, the certainty of a dollar collapse, and the dollar flooding America, causing hyperinflation. They're talking about that, right? This is something that I ran across yesterday that I want to share with you. It's by one of these big investors. This is about 5 minutes also. I think his name is Mike Maloney, okay? And listen to this. I know they're going to be trying to turn poo into pie, you know, and what he's saying at the end, but pay attention to what he's saying that is going on. Don't look at all of his rosy scenarios. The white man is not going to continue to, he's not going to completely say that he's going to be removed from the planet Earth. He'll tell you, well, this is taking place, and oh, we've never seen this before, and we don't know how to handle it, and we're going to fall. Then he'll give you this, but I think that we'll rise again, and we can prosper from this. He's not going to completely just tell you that this is the end of his time, and he can't do nothing about it. But I want you to listen to what Mike Maloney says happening in the financial market behind closed doors, and how the nations are ridding themselves of the dollar, and how the dollars are making their way back here. And this is one of the main reasons that you see Deutsche Bank and all of these banks in America, and the British Bank, and all of the European banks are now frightful of what they see coming. But I want you to listen to Mr. Maloney, okay? Because I ran across this yesterday, and I wanted to share this with you before I go into the other clip that I played on the last show. So pay close attention. This is 5 minutes also.
Hi, this is Mike Maloney, and for many years I've been giving a presentation on the death of the global dollar standard. And there are two events that have happened recently. Toward the end of last year, they announced that the Chinese yuan would be included in the basket that makes up the SDR, the IMF's currency called special drawing rights, that is only used by the world's central banks. And then, just a couple of weeks ago, SDR-denominated bonds were sold in China, and they are redeemed in Chinese yuan. Now, like I said, I've been giving this presentation for a long time. Episode 3 of Hidden Secrets of Money is all about the death of the U.S. dollar reserve status. And this is crumbling while we speak. This is part of the currency crisis that I was talking about. It's part of the change in global monetary system. In this presentation, I show that every 30 to 40 years, the world has a new monetary system. This is something I discovered when I was writing my book. And the thing is that the global dollar standard is the worst designed of all of these systems, yet this one is 45 years old now, so it's way overdue for its own demise. And when this one crumbles, everybody is going to feel it. When we changed from the classical gold standard that was in place before World War I to the gold exchange standard between the wars, the public didn't feel it. When we changed from the gold exchange standard to the Bretton Woods system, the public didn't feel it. When we changed from the Bretton Woods system to the global U.S. dollar standard, the public didn't feel it. It was only large international businesses, the central banks, and large international banks that felt the convulsions from the switch in monetary systems. With the end of the U.S. global dollar standard, everybody is going to feel it. It's going to be a global economic convulsion that will affect everybody. Now, there's an article from Philosophy of Metrics, and this is J.C. Collins writing, and the closing paragraph I found very well written. Soon other emerging nations, such as Vietnam, India, and other BRICS members, will begin to issue their own SDR-denominated bonds. Once that trend picks up steam, the demand for U.S. treasuries will decrease and interest rates will increase. Without a doubt, this will be the biggest monetary transformation since the end of World War II. So that's quite a statement. But what are the economics behind that? Well, this is the total federal debt, the total public debt, the amount of indebtedness that the United States government has indebted the public, you and me. And if you look back here in the year 2000, you're talking about less than $6 trillion of debt. Today, it's up at almost $19.4 trillion, from 6 to 19.4. Now, if you take a look at federal debt held by foreign and international investors, the people who may dump their U.S. treasuries and convert them into these SDR bonds, back in the year 2000, 2001, you're talking about a trillion or less of the U.S. federal debt being held in foreign hands. And today, you're talking about 6.3 almost. And so if you divide these things, you find out that it was about 18-19% of the U.S. debt was being held back here, and now it's expanded to 33% that is in foreign hands. So 33% of the U.S. treasuries are going to be potentially affected by this. And people that want less exposure to the U.S. dollar and more diversification are going to be converting their U.S. treasuries into these SDR-denominated bonds, and a lot of these bonds are going to hit the open market. And so that means that there are some big, big changes coming. But on the opposite side of every crisis is opportunity. So you always have to remember that. This is not necessarily a bad thing for you. Yes, it's going to be bad for the U.S. economy. It's going to be bad for most Americans. But if you research things and learn as much as you can, you might be able to turn this into the best thing that's ever happened to you. So if you got anything from this video, please like it, share.
So he's right at the end now, but you have to understand what he's saying. If you research, and if you research and you apply your learning, you can benefit and prosper. You can make it from this side to the next side by applying the wisdom of God to your life. Because this thing is going to be brutal. He's telling you, America's going to, the economy is going to collapse. Oh, the dollar is going to get destroyed. He's telling you these things. Now, when we look at these things, we have to put them in a historical perspective. Elijah Muhammad was teaching this way back when. He was telling you about how America in the 60s, he was telling you that America had spent all the gold in Fort Knox. He said that had been gone so long, she don't even know what it looked like. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying back then. He said, they're trying to get rid of money, but we'll always have money, even after they're gone. Listen to me good, brothers and sisters. I want you to pay close attention to this. Muhammad told us that the taking of the world off the gold and silver standard would be not only the doom of America, but he proposed England first. He says the doom of England and America. He told us this. Why? Because London sits as the financial capital of the world. And New York sits as number two. These two economies are tied. When the British pound relinquished its position as the number one world currency, it didn't fight the dollar. It linked its worth with the dollar. So, brothers and sisters, this is why the British pound is part of the SDRs, or the International Drawing Rights, that currency that the IMF and the World Bank and all of these other organizations have. I want you to pay close attention. Well, what's the significance of this? Mr. Maloney says that these nations hold at least 33 or 34% of the U.S. debt, which we know that it's a little bit higher when you add in all the unfunded liabilities and all of the black budget funding that America has to borrow from other nations to fund her wars, okay? We know it's way higher than that, but we're going to take the 33%. And it's ironic he mentions 33% because, well, we won't go into that part, but as I said to you, the dollar is crumbling. Who told you that this would happen? Let's go back to the decline of the dollar, because it is something very, very sensitive to what Mr. Maloney said that Elijah Muhammad was saying back in the days, but you never gave him credit. The stronghold, right, of the American government is falling to pieces. So Muhammad described the dollar as the stronghold of the American government, meaning that this was her base of power, her base of influence, her base of wealth and prosperity. And this is what elevated her above all of the other nations, because she had the ability to print dollars ad nauseum without worry about being called in on her debt. This gave her the ability to fund her infrastructure projects at home, her manufacturing prowess, her military expeditions abroad. But now it is falling apart, and it's becoming ever so clear that she cannot continue on in this manner. So Muhammad says she has lost her prestige among the nations of the earth. What did Mr. Baloney just say to you? That India and Vietnam and the BRICS nations and other nations are now going to get rid of the dollar for something other than the dollars, right? Listen to what he says. And also remember how he's speaking in past tense. When he's saying this, he's saying it in past. Why is he talking like this in past tense? Because he was saying that it was already a done deal, even though you couldn't recognize it, couldn't see it, or couldn't feel it at the time. He spoke it because God gave him the inspiration, so it was a done deal. And now we're living in the time of what he spoke back then, and we can say with a surety that it is a done deal today. But you didn't know it, you didn't see it, you didn't recognize it back then. So when he spoke it, you cast it aside because you couldn't see it, because your vision was limited. But Muhammad says, one of the greatest powers of America, listen to this, was, not is, was her dollar. He's telling you that it's a done deal, right? Y'all listen to your little brother. He says, the loss of such power will bring any nation to weakness. For this is the medium of exchange between nations. The dollar, the reserve currency of the world, is or was the medium of exchange for the nation. Now it's being challenged by the yuan, right? Or the renminbi, which is the same thing. China has two names, just like you call the dollar. The dollar, you call it, you know, the greenback or whatever you want to call it. China has it, the yuan, or the renminbi. You can call it either or, but it's the same thing. So if you hear me say renminbi, I'm talking about the yuan. And he says, listen to how he connects the English pound and the American dollar. And this is very critical because in the chapter, I think it's 33 of the Fall of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also connects England's escapades and America's international escapades together. And then he relates them as being the daughters of Babylon, who were destined for the same thing that their mother was destined for. And we can see why. But let us go further. He says, the English pound and the American dollar have been the power and beckoning light of these two great powers. But when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. He put England over America, the financial doom of England and America, because he knew that London stood as the hallmark for Western financial primacy, right? Okay, I want you to listen closely to what I'm saying. Now, you hear Mr. Maloney talking about this. You hear Mark Farber talking about this. You hear Jim Rogers talking about this. But the first person that talked about this was Elijah Muhammad, and he told you the in-depthness of what to expect 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. This man was giving you this wisdom. But you didn't want it from him. You can't deny it because it's written right here. And I'm reading it to you verbatim, okay? But why didn't you understand it when Elijah Muhammad was saying these things? And we're going to connect this. Muhammad says in the Theology of Time about the wisdom that he's teaching. He says, I can be called a liar like all others before me who were prophets and reformers of people. I don't expect you to give me the credit, but you will grow into doing that. Now, I'm going to stop right there. He said, listen, I don't expect you to give me the credit, but you will grow into doing that. I'm telling you today, but you'll grow in it and tomorrow. Now, the reason Wallace was able, and this goes hand. from 1955, Muhammad teaches us, was the end of the 400-year sojourn. And from that, he says, the devil gets a 60 to not exceed 70-year extension. Right? And when you add that up, you come to 2015 to 2025. So they did not understand the math, the time, the science of what Elijah Muhammad was talking about. But you are growing in it today. He spoke it yesteryear, and you are seeing it right here, right now. So I'm asking you, when the lights go out, because they're going out, will you be ready? I don't care what they're trying to do. They cannot stop what God has ordained. You got to get that in your head. So, Mr. Maloney is telling you about the collapsing dollar. He's telling you about the coming inflation, the hyperinflation. He's talking about the forsaking of America. Didn't Elijah Muhammad tell you that in the fall of America when he says, and one day her doom came? And then he told us that Europe and Asia would go away from America. Right? Didn't he tell us that? What's being prepared right now in the financial scheme of things? Is that not what's happening right now? Is China not building up a monetary system outside of the dollar? Is Russia not helping to bring this into being? What about America's allies in the European Union who are signing currency swap bilateral trade deals with China, Russia, and Iran and the BRICS nations? Huh? You didn't understand that. But Muhammad spoke it, and time now is vindicating him. You are growing into the wisdom that he spoke yesteryear. And it is a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to go to number four, because this is a three-minute clip, okay? Three-minute clip about what we played on the last show to refresh your memory. And then after we come back from the three-minute clip, 424, I got you. I see your hand up. I'll get you real quick. And then we'll go into some of the more recent clips to get you acquainted with the geopolitical aspects of this, because this last clip here, if you listen to it, they're talking about the monetary scheme and how that is leading to the military confrontation around the globe, okay? And often remember this, that through all of this, it is being done for the deliverance and salvation of the American so-called Negro here in America first, and then the liberation of the aboriginal people around the world next. Always remember that. God is breaking the power of the most dominant power on earth, that is America. He's breaking the grips of the Caucasian world, and all of them are in turmoil, and you cannot deny it. So, listen to this again.
When here we go. It looks like we're getting closer and closer to that point. Bridgewater, this company, is calculating that the central banks, well, they're running out of road. And we know they are running out of road because they really haven't changed their policies. They've been keeping them steady. To get more power, to do extraordinary things, the central bank will need Congress to pass legislation. And for Congress to pass legislation to give more power to the central bank, what needs to happen? Because the central bank can't just go up to Congress and say, listen, we need more legislation here. We need to buy equities. We need to do other things. So can you just pass this along and vote on it? They're going to say, absolutely not. What would be the purpose of this? The economy is recovering. So the central bank will need an event. And we said that this economy will come down in different phases. Phase one is to allow the central bank to receive more power. We saw it in 2008. They were allowed to do quantitative easing. They were allowed to buy up the toxic real estate. We saw all this happen before. This is nothing new. And we're going to see it again. So Ray Dalio's Bridgewater asked precisely the question, how much longer can this charade continue with the central bank? And they looked at the ECB. They looked at the Bank of Japan. They looked at the Fed. And they're saying if they continue on with their existing programs and they do nothing else, minimum 8 months more, maximum 24 months. So anything between this period. And we can see right now that doesn't give them much time. to get everything going, because the other thing they need to worry about is what's happening on the other side of the world. With Deutsche Bank, they need to worry about what's happening in the Middle East. The threat to the petrodollar, it's not just one thing. This entire economic crash is made up of many different parts. And if one part slips away and breaks and causes a chain reaction, well, the whole system comes down. So they realize they have a certain period of time, and time is running out, because they're very nervous about something coming out of left field, right field. It doesn't matter. They don't want that to happen. They want to create the narrative. They want to bring it down, controlled by them, to allow the central bank to take on more control, to allow them to do more in the economy. I mean, will it work once they do this? No, absolutely not. The underlying factors of the economy will continue to fail. They'll keep the illusion alive, but they know this will only keep people happy for a certain period of time, because more and more people will be losing their job and things will be going south for many people. And this is where phase two comes in. And we can see right now we're approaching phase one of this collapse.
So, we're approaching phase one of the collapse. Phase two is to go to war. Now, before I go into more depth on this, because I want to play a 10-minute clip for you all. This is courtesy of Sputnik News. And this is a interview that was given this 10 minutes. And I wanted to play it on the last show, but I did not get a chance to. So, and I'm looking at the time. We have about 18 minutes. Brothers and sisters, please, if I can, would you please give me an extra 15 to 20-some minutes if needed? I really appreciate it. I just don't want to leave you guys half-taught. I want the messenger to say we must clean up as we go and leave none of the trash on the floor. If we're sweepers, we got to make sure the floor is clean, okay? So I want to sweep the floor clean because my leader, teacher, and guide taught me to do that. And I am a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Without Elijah Muhammad, I ain't nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now. The wisdom that this man put in you can elevate you from the miry clay, the miry mat of this civilization, and make you respected among the people of the world. You can have intelligent conversations with anyone. From governors and kings to lawyers and scholars. And they will be amazed at the wisdom that God has put in your head through that divine vehicle named Elijah Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I ask you again, when the lights go out, will you be ready, prepared mentally and spiritually? Before we go to this clip, I want to give you a definition, but I want to bring in 424 first. I know this is my good brother Gerald. I say unto you, Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Well, Islam, sir. Brother,
how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, brother. All praise is due to Allah. Brother, you rub the head of a lion and thinking it's a pussycat, thinking it's a cat, brother. You something to get your hand tore off. And that lion is roaring today, brother. I hear you speaking on this truth. Just to follow you up, brother, on the Mike Maloney. And then Dave from the X-22 report, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and it's right there in the fall of America, that the white man will not admit to his fall until it is on his heel. And this is his fall. He is falling, and he is admitting to his destruction of his world and his money market. You know, you play all of these clips and cannot refute this truth today that he's bearing witness to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He won't come out and admit and say the source of his fall, and it is God himself that has come to bring down the world of the white man, not just, you know, financially, but militarily, economically. His religious prowess, everything is being stripped from this white man today to resurrect the so-called American Negro. And, you know, for the Christians who are listening to the show, see, that's what represents the birth of that Virgin Mary. See, the black man has never had a man in our midst to give us this truth. We've never been born into a real truth until the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The white man has been our teacher for so long. We have eaten from the bread of what he has said, from his religion, from everything that he has taught us. We believe that till we were robbed of our name, language, culture, God, more ways, folk ways, norm. So he's been our teacher. So everything that he says, we take it as a stamp of approval. The real Jesus Christ, we say we love Jesus. Well, this is the show that's representing the real Jesus, Master Farad Muhammad. This is the God that we need, should, and must embrace. Come to his show, continue listening to this brother here, and you are getting the undiluted teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like you said, no one is speaking this truth. Everyone is mixing it up with their own version of how they see things. Here, you get it. There's no excuses. This right here is the real truth. The white man is telling you his world is falling. That's all I have to say, brother. Love you, black man. Continue on with this truth. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, my brother. I love you, man. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. 540, hold on 1 second. I want to follow this brother up. He was saying about the white man will not tell you the truth until you see it on his heels. And I know exactly what he was talking about. It's in Don Savior Has Arrived, chapter 4, page 11. That's what is wrong. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, we should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives as we believe it. See, you got to believe it now. If you don't believe this truth and you just lip professing, then it doesn't have the power to save you. But if you become the embodiment of the truth that you are lip professing and you become a living example of the truth, no matter what weapon, word, or action taken, spoken, or formed against you, it will never prosper. So Muhammad goes further and says, America is at war with the darker people, brown, yellow, and every race, regardless of color, today. But she refuses to tell you the truth of this war that is now taking many lives. This is hiding the truth. What is she trying to get peace for? If these people's losses are as great as the radio and other news media state, the enemy would be on his knees begging for peace. It seems as if it is now vice versa. This is hiding the truth. Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. Isn't that right? She's not telling you that she's losing in Syria. She's not telling you that she's losing in Iraq. She's telling you that she's winning, yet she continues to deploy more weapons, more troops, more bombs, more warships over there. If you're winning, you take the stuff away. But you're deploying more and more and more. You're spending more and more and more on a victory. How is that winning? How is that winning? How is that winning? Let us go to the old, the 540, took their hands down, and I'm thankful for that because I want to go into something. I want you to listen to this situation because it also it goes right over to the situation in Syria and in the Middle East. And remember, we told you about this, it was coming. One brother wrote me the other day and told me, he said, brother, you know, I was listening to some archive show, and you were talking about the exact situation that is going on in the, he said, MENA. He got that from me. He said, how you refer to it as the MENA area, the Middle East and North African area, and how the same nations that we had talked about years ago would be involved in this thing, and how America would try her best to dominate, and she would try to make it look like a victory, and try to pull out a little bit, but then she would be forced right back in, and she would be losing, boom, 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 one thing after another, and then this thing would go regional. And it made my heart happy to know that somebody was doing some research and was seeing that what we were saying to you, it's happening right now. And how did we know this? Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught this. He told us what to expect in this time frame. And we're seeing it now. And we're seeing the dust of a war. But you cannot make God and his prophets to be lying. You can believe that. So I want to go straight to this. And I know this thing says 10 minutes live. But even after this, brothers and sisters, please, I need another 10 to 20 minutes of your time to get this over to you, okay? So don't hang up. Don't answer your phone. Don't click over on your internet. If you get disconnected before we go off the air, please do it right back. Come back before, or you'll have to go and listen to the show over again, which is not really a bad thing. So let's go to this 10 minutes and 26 seconds, if I believe it is.
Hi,
I'm not a military expert, and I have not followed the separate actions in the Syrian civil war going back 5 years, but I am interested in politics. I am interested in what goes on in the United Nations Security Council, and what I have seen there in the last couple of days, none of us have seen for the last 40 years. And so it's gotten my attention. But to come back to your immediate question about the U.S. allied attack on the Syrian forces at Deir al-Zawar back on the 16th of September, and putting that together with Foreign Minister Lavrov's remarks yesterday, that to the effect that the Pentagon seems to have moved out of control of the civilian authorities, the White House in the United States, I think we are at a very dramatic moment, and it's really been set up to influence the U.S. elections, among other things. The War Party in the United States is desperately afraid of Donald Trump winning the election, which he now is within striking distance of doing. And what we have in between the 16th of September and yesterday has been absolutely remarkable set of developments, starting with the United States' supposedly accidental attack on the Syrian forces, who were surrounded by ISIL, leading to the death of 80 Syrian soldiers. And then, to sort of bookmark this, you've got the attack on the convoy, which the United States and its close allies immediately blamed on Russia and Syria. In the level of violence and language exchanged, well, set out by Samantha Power, who was never known for her diplomatic talent, and is certainly clear in her anti-Russian tendency of most everything she's done during her time in office. The level of violence is, unprecedented in verbal attacks on Russia, and the remark that Russia's actions are barbarism. We have reached a new low, and I don't think that just looking at these bookmarks of the September 16th and the Russian attack, or Russian-Syrian attacks on eastern Aleppo in the last couple of days, are sufficient to explain everything we're watching. I don't know, this has not been in the news, the question of a Russian attack said to have taken place within hours of the U.S. coalition's attack on the Syrian position, namely the destruction of a command and control outpost above Aleppo, with the possible death of 30 U.S., Israeli, U.K., and other intelligence officers. There has been no corroboration of that report. However, judging by what's happened in the last 2 days, I would call this circumstantial evidence that something very serious has transpired between Russia, the United States, and its closest allies over Syria. Far more serious than what has been in the public domain.
Let's go back to some of this news here in the original story. Apparently there was an attack, American military attack, Syrian troops in Deir ez-Zor. And now the latest news on this story, the latest update on it, is that Damascus is claiming that it has audio of Daesh speaking with U.S. military or coordinating with U.S. military prior to the strike. Now, if this turns out to be true, or let me ask you this, could this at all possibly true? And if so, what implications could it have, if any at all?
It could be true. I have no implications, because truth is the least of the factors on the playing field today. The Russian, I think back of last December, when the Russian military held a press briefing for all of the military attachés in Moscow to show their documented footage of the oil trade, the illicit oil trade, financing ISIS with Turkish collaboration and with American understanding. And the assertions were made that Americans knew perfectly well about this, these moving pipelines, essentially, these long convoys of tankers, and had taken no military action against them. Well, that was dramatic. It was fantastic demonstration. And what was the result? Zero. There was no coverage in the Western press, although all of the NATO military attachés in Moscow were scribbling furiously and taking as many photos of the Russian slides as they could. So the Syrians and the Russians can prove anything they'd like, and the Western media will ignore it totally. That is the sad fact today, and it is why force and not diplomacy seems to be resolving the question, or seems to be addressing the question of what future Syria has. Diplomacy has only been decorative.
I find that a very troubling notion that if diplomacy is only facade, then what we're really talking about is not only war, but really debate should be about when this war should be, and possibly it's already brewing underground. I guess that could be some of these, if the videotape or the audio recording, it's possible these officers that were killed, possibly. Yeah, I don't know. It's just very troubling looking forward. Now, you mentioned something earlier in our conversation. You said that you're not necessarily a military expert. You're not necessarily following the day-to-day events in the ground, but you do follow politics that happens in the UN, and you said that what you saw in the UN interests you and that we haven't seen this for 40 years. What were you talking about here?
Going back, people like to use either the fall of the Soviet Union or the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 as marks showing the end of the Cold War, and that's like to say that since the end of the Cold War, we haven't had this. I'd go back still further. Since the period of Gorbachev, since, I say, from 1985, we haven't seen anything resembling this level of open hostility and direct name-calling and the most rude behavior of walking out on other speakers, as we've seen in the last several days, or to go further back, in the last 10 days, in the UN General Assembly, when Samantha Power walked out on Lavrov. This has reached a new bottom. And as I said, the violence of this, the extreme hostility implicit in these actions, suggests that something more is going on between the two sides than you'll find on the front page of the newspapers.
Let's talk about the UN Security Council meeting that took place on Sunday then, and specifically when the Syrian permanent representative, Bashar Jafari, began his speech, and the UK, the US, and French delegations walked out. What message were they trying to send?
Well, it's pure contempt. And in an atmosphere of such contempt, where proofs or facts have no relevance whatsoever, we are at a point where might makes right, or might is the only arbiter between the various sides. That is extremely sad, but I think it is, as far as the United States is concerned, if there's any justice in the accusations made by Lavrov, that the U.S. military, or let's put it more broadly, the war party, has moved out from under control of the White House in a desperate bid to start a conflict with Russia that will tip the elections in the way they want them. We are at a very dangerous point.
In that same speech, he also claimed, Mr. Jafari also claimed, that militants from the Ahrar al-Sham group were preparing a chemical attack using white phosphorus on civilians and could later blame it on the Syrian army. Now, how realistic do you find his claims to be that this group was going to use a false flag? And if they do, where could they have received these weapons?
The last is a strictly military logistical question, which I'm not skilled to answer. But your broader question, a strictly political question, where or where could anyone have gotten the idea of planting a false flag on Russia and its allies? Well, we've been seeing that for the last 5 years. And going back to the air destruction of the Malaysian flight over Donbass, it is in the immediate, within minutes, decision by Kerry to put the full blame on Russia. This type of knee-jerk response, which suggests pre-knowledge, and pre-knowledge because they are false flags. That's where we were then. That's where we are today. That's where we were in Syria itself when, this goes back 2.5 years ago, when the charges were made that Assad had crossed the red lines of Obama by making chemical attacks. There's nothing more emotive in precisely the Syrian situation than the possibility of the regime having made chemical attacks. So the U.S. war party has seen very successful implementation for its purposes of false flags which leave the Russians flat-footed, unable to provide convincing proofs, and even if they do provide proofs, as I said, the Western media doesn't carry it. So they have a well-established record now of this tactic, which has almost become a strategy. And if it's being quite successful, as far as such measures can be with the media and with the broad American and Western publics.
Now, you mentioned several times about this war party influencing U.S. elections. And my question for you in general then is, how much of an influence do you feel that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, has on either the military or the secret services, the CIA, NSA? Because as far as I know, Obama's still in office, even though he could be called a lame duck. He has only, a couple months left. Shouldn't he still be in control?
Well, should he? Of course he should. But the question is a tricky one, because Obama's indecisiveness, his reluctance to be a war president in wars that have come up during his own tenure rather than wars that he inherited, that has been clear. We've been saved considerably worse confrontation between Russia and the West by the fact that Obama has been in office, and I think it would be a big failure not to recognize that willy-nilly, and it's almost come to that, Obama has spared us the onset of a grave conflagration between the West and Russia. Having said that, what has happened in the last 10 days is alarming, precisely for the reasons that Sergei Lavrov is hinting at, that it looks like in this final period, this last gasp, which surely the war party recognizes is a hazardous one for them, not just because Trump could come into office, but because the Russians could see it as an window of opportunity to settle unresolved issues while the United States is politically paralyzed. So it is entirely thinkable that there would be insubordination, as seems to be the case, because what Kerry had negotiated with Lavrov on the ceasefire was then undone in the most brazen way by this attack on the Syrian outpost, which could only be understood as an intentional attack.
Now, how does that have anything, and what does that have to do with your liberation and what's going on? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that these wars that are taking place in North Africa, in the Middle East, and in Asia, and around the globe are to weaken America by degrees so that she can be removed as a power and her foot that is on your neck economically, culturally, and spiritually, and physically, can be removed off of you. So she's in all of these conflicts over 136 or 37 to date right now, I believe. She's involved in over 136 or 37 conflicts around the world. Think about that. It's only 200 and some nations in the world. She's involved in 136 or 137 conflicts. You telling me she's not the blood shedder? You telling me she's not the beast? You telling me that she's not that berserker nation that feeds on turmoil and destruction and blood? This thing is going to explode, and it is going to force you to open your eyes when your children start coming back in body bags for these unjust wars. And the misery and the mourning becomes so great that the grief is unbearable. You're going to start wanting questions and demanding answers. So this is a chastisement also for the rejection of God's truth, for the rejection of God's messenger, for the rejection of the time and the presence of God today. So you look at this situation. Americans losing in Syria. This is all economically and geopolitically. America wanted to carve up Syria. They wanted Assad to capitulate years ago. I can put the pictures in the information up where I actually have the pictures of John Kerry himself and John Kerry's wife, the one who owns the Heinz Ketchup Company, sitting in Damascus having dinner with Assad and his wife, trying to bribe them into shunning Russia and being a conduit for America's project for gas and oil pipelines that will usurp Russia's power in Europe. See, this is what I kept telling y'all. Russia has too much to lose. This is the bait that God puts on the hook of the fishing pole to lure these nations in to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And now he's pleading with the nations to let his people go, but they won't hear it. So war is the outcome. So if you look at the situation over there, America's now being found out that, yes, she's running ISIS. She's running, we've been telling you that, she's running Al-Qaeda. Every time she needs a boogeyman, they pop up out of nowhere. And these boogeymen always are using U.S. weapons, isn't that right? So she's threatening to physically attack Syria. But today the Russian military and the Russian State Department warned America that this will come with grave consequences that will spiral out of control. Why is America doing this? She's mad. She knows prophecy. She knows time. She knows that Elijah Muhammad said that America would come out of the Near East, the Middle East. But before she comes out, there would be bloodshed and plenty of it. She knows that the deployment of naval vessels by China and Russia is what Muhammad talked about when he said that there are navies, right, over there. And their prime purpose is to push America out. She knows this. She's fighting militarily, but she's losing militarily. She's been bled to death. Death by a thousand cuts militarily. She's been bled to death economically. Death by a thousand cuts. She's indebted up to her ears, and she's drowning. souls that she had for the short time. With the book say, Satan would come down having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time. So, Russia has too much to lose. And this is the pivot point here for war in the Middle East, for war in North Africa, the regional war that will explode. Matter of fact, let me read something to you that just came to my attention just a few minutes ago while the clip was going on. This is a headline here. Pay close attention to this. And then we'll refer this back to chapter 40 because it just so happens that Germany has been saying it. There's two major parties in Germany. One is pro-East and one is pro-West. And there's a great divide here in politics because the Eastern Bloc sees America as a hegemonic power that will stop at nothing to impose her will on the entire globe, even if it means thermonuclear war. Then you have the vassals of Germany who are getting bribed and being bullied by the West and hitch their wagon to her. But this is a headline here. German politician to Sputnik. U.S. pulling us into abyss of war in the Middle East. How has the situation on the ground in Syria changed after a year of Russian military involvement? Speaking to Sputnik, veteran German politician Willy Wimmer suggests that it has demonstrated that Russia is the only major power ready to seriously fight terrorism and to call for an end to war, which risks spreading across what? The region. What did we say that was going to happen? This will be a regional conflagration. We've been telling you this. So, it goes further and says, the U.S. and its allies, meanwhile, have only managed to throw a wrench in the peace process and have been unable to reach any of their own goals due to the Russian intervention. Wimmer is a veteran member of the Christian Democratic Union with over 30 years of experience in the Bundestag, that's their Congress. The politician has served as a Secretary of State of the German Defense Ministry and as a Vice President of the OSCE. He is a close friend of former Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Now listen, he says, what we are witnessing today is part of a longer development, the politician said. The civil war, which broke out 5 years ago, which is not a civil war, we know that, resulted in a tragic struggle right at the moment when the Syrian-Israeli conflict over the Golan Heights seemed to have already been settled. All that was left to do was sign the agreement, which could have resulted in peace in the Middle East. And if not for certain forces who were not interested in peace, this agreement would have been signed. We know that at the very beginning of the Syrian tragedy, British, French, and U.S. special forces became involved, giving this war at the moment looking more like a civil conflict, a global significance. Okay, now let's go to chapter 40, Fall of America. Follow with me, brothers and sisters, I'll ask you for that little time. Follow with me real quick. Chapter 40, Fall of America, and we'll go to pages 171 and 172. I'm getting a book right now, so here we are right here. 171, 172. Now, go to the bottom of the page. Follow along with me. Right here, the messenger says, America and England deposited their little brother Israel on foreign soil, Palestine, which is Arab land. They deprived the Arabs of their own land and sent them into exile. This injustice against the Arabs is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the Near East, in the East. Now, stop right there for a minute. Notice how Mr. Mann here, Mr. Wilmer, the German politician, brought up the significance of Israel and Syria in the Middle Eastern conflict and how it was almost a peace agreement, right? But it didn't happen. Why? The messenger said that they would look for peace, but would find none. They would sign agreements, but none would be honored. And then the outcome of this would be war. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. This is what we're looking at today. He's saying, in all of this, black man and woman, is for your salvation. Allah has promised that he would kill off nations to give you a home. What is going on? Talk back to your little brother. What's going on right now? You see it, right? You can't deny this truth. But let's go a little further. Muhammad says, this injustice against the Arabs is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the East. She, listen, talking about America, she is on her will. Before Russia's military intervention, America had gobbled up all of the former Soviet state allies in the Middle East, from Egypt on down. The only one that stood as Russia's friend was Syria. And now since Russia's Middle East intervention, now Egypt has signed deals with Russia. You have all of America's puppets, client states are now screaming for Russia's help. You have Libya begging the Russian defense minister to send in warplanes and bomb the hell out of America assets in Libya. Right now, this is going on. What did Muhammad say? Libya would play a part in the fall of America. Right? Are we not watching this? You see how it's constantly churning and churning and grinding into war? Do you see it? So Muhammad says, this means bloodshed and plenty of it. What are you watching? What are you seeing? Every time an agreement is announced, what is happening? There's more bloodshed than before the agreement was ever announced. Is that not correct? This is for you. So he says, in the Near East, there stands navies, which are neither American nor British. He didn't say there stands a navy. He used a plural word when he was speaking of the naval forces in that area. He says, in the Near East, there stands navies, which are neither American nor British. And we want to know what are their purpose for being there. Muhammad says, they are there to drive America out. This is the sole purpose of China deploying her warships there. This is the sole purpose of Iran deploying her warships there. This is the sole purpose of Russia deploying her warships and nuclear submarines there. It is to drive America out and to weaken the American economy at home and to break America's stranglehold militarily and economically over the MENA area, which forces her to break with holding you hostage economically. So we go further. All right? Muhammad says, the skies over there are beginning to thicken with foreign planes carrying deadly weapons, guns, and bombs. Now, we see Russia deploying more warplanes there. This was announced last night that they are deploying the most advanced warplanes in the world there, the SU-34s and 35s there. They're going to deploy the best attack warplanes in the world there, the SU-25s. So, you see Britain and France is bombing Iraq with her Rafale planes off of the Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier, right? You see Britain deploying her planes over there. You see, Belgium. You see all of these nations along with America deploying their planes there. What did the messenger say? The skies over there are beginning to thicken with foreign planes carrying deadly weapons, guns, and bombs. And listen to what he says. They will not be satisfied as long as Israel is in the Palestine. Why? Because that is the root cause of the problem there right now. Israel, these Khazars from the Caucasus, came and took the land from the Palestinians, just like the Bible teaches you that they would. And America put them there so that you can see and cry over the Jews over there, when in reality, Israel is America. And we are the sacred vessels being held captive in this house. We are hostages in a nation. So, God is exposing that area, and he's going to remove the occupying Zionist regime of Israel so that you can see America for who she is. Are you understanding the time? So, he goes further and says, they will not be satisfied as long as Israel is in Palestine. The ball has come to a bursting point. We are in a troubled world. We are in a world that is now erupting. Now, see, as I teach you these things, and I say these things to you and prove to you in world events and economics and finance and markets and culture and science and geopolitics, as I show you these things and prove to you that it is prophetic and that this is theology shown to you in real time, you say, well, what does that have to do with me? And then I tell you, well, Muhammad went through all that stuff telling you of what to expect in the Near East, right? And right after he tells you what is going on and what's happening in the world, he then transitions to this point. Black that you see brewing. You have a way out, black man and woman. The way out is not on your own terms. It is on condition that you submit to Allah and come follow me. This is the only way out. I am the door, and I have the key to your salvation. Rejected and died. So we see these things taking place today. We hear these things taking place today, right? And Muhammad tells us why. Because God has given you an out as he removes this world. He has given you relief of the pressure of Yaqub's world that has been weighing down your back, that yoke that you have not been able to break. He is offering you a way out, a way to remove that burden that you have carried for nearly 5 centuries and nearly 6,000 years. Okay? He's giving you a way out. But I ask you, when the lights go out for the white man's world, will you be ready? Look at what's going on. I know the time is drawing to a close. But even while war is taking place abroad, the madness in America continues to intensify, as we told you it would. And I want you to listen to this 2-minute clip, okay? I had so many more clips to play for you, but I know I wanted to get the chance to play it because the time goes by, because you have to explain everything and not leave things to chance, because so many people need understanding. And what I try to do as I go along, I try to break these things down and give you definitions and give you examples so that you can understand, so that you can picture it yourself, so that you can see it and not just rely on what I have to say. I want to empower you enough that you can take charge of your own life and learn this truth, okay? So I want you to listen to this. So we've heard about the economic collapse. We've heard about the crashing of the dollar. We've heard about the civil strife and insurrection that is taking place between black and white. We've heard about the military provocations and how this relates to the killing off of people to save you. And we've heard about the madness that God has struck into the hearts of America and how the slave is constantly burdened, the American slave master. This is to force them to let you go free. Now, I want you to listen to just how bad things have gotten. This is 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll close it up, okay? And I want to thank you all for giving me this time to finish this up. It's hundreds of you are, I see, I can't scroll down as long, because I would never get back up to the top of the screen. But I see hundreds of you on here, and I know thousands are listening via radio. But Blog Talk Radio will tell me tomorrow they'll put 10,000, 15,000 listeners up, and there are 20,000 or 30,000 listeners up. And then when I go back and look again, they'll say 15 listeners. I tell you what. Brothers and sisters, also, let me say this before we go to the clip. Please donate to the Irons 1555 blog. It doesn't hurt. Go over there and help us do this stuff. Keep this stuff going. All right, and if you need an address to send a money order or something, it's 2310 Truman Avenue, 1/2, this is the way they have the street marked, 1/2, Pensacola, Florida, 32504, in care of either Rashid Muhammad or Nicole Muhammad. I'm going to hit this clip. We have another hand up. I'm going to let you listen to this clip, but I'm going to go to the phone lines first, because I'm going to wrap it up after this clip, because you have been so gracious, and I appreciate everything. So let me go to the 314. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, Assalamu alaikum, my good brother. You there? Assalamu alaikum. I guess not. Okay, I just heard. I'm going to click back. Are you there, brother?
Yes, sir. There? Sorry, pardon me. Yes, sir, I was on mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I hear you very well. Go ahead.
Okay. Listen, I just wanted to give you a hand there. That address is 2310 1/2. Some people might not understand how you said it, you know. 2310 1/2. 1/2. Truman Avenue. All right, bro.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for doing the show, bro. You know, I want them to
Thank
know
you,
how to get
Thank
to you, brother.
Brother.
Yes, sir,
you.
Man. Get it to the right address. While they can.
All right, my brother. Love you. I'm glad the brother corrected me, because I'm trying to get this last clip in, because I know people's patience, okay? Thank you, brother. Thank you a million for that. Listen to this clip here and how the madness is growing. growing and brewing within America, okay? Check this out real quick, and then we'll come back and wrap the show up.
NYU Law School's Brennan Center for Justice recently released a report on crime in America. They analyzed data from our 30 largest cities, and they found that while overall crime only increased slightly, murders shot up to project a 13% increase for this year and a 31.5% increase between 2014 and 2016. Most of that is thanks to only a few cities. Half of the increases in murder rates from 2014 to 2016 is attributable to just three: Baltimore, Chicago, and Houston. Baltimore and Washington, D.C. drove up the numbers in 2015, and Chicago is really driving the numbers up this year. The report tries to make sense of why overall nonviolent crime only increased a little, while murders and violent crimes shot way up. Of course, the same old suspects are brought up for where to lay the blame: poverty, unemployment, declining police forces, racial segregation. It's tempting to give the same old reasons we always point to, but the problem is that if those reasons were responsible for an increase in murder rates, they should also lead to a similar increase in nonviolent crimes too. So the usual reasons just don't add up, which is why another possible reason given in the report looks more likely, even though the researchers remain skeptical. That's something known as the Ferguson effect. That is how people are starting to describe the growing tension between police and the public, based on all the police killings in the last few years, which really took off in the public consciousness after Ferguson. Ever since Mike Brown was killed by police there, distrust of law enforcement has been growing. People are starting to feel like they aren't treated as equal and aren't as equally protected by the system. And when people feel abandoned and threatened by the system, that's when they tend to lash out. That could be why murders are increasing instead of just crime overall. So pundits in the media can hypothesize all they want, and they can argue about whether or not to call what's going on a national crime wave. But at the end of the day, the fact remains the same. We're killing each other a lot more now than we were 2 years ago. Which begs the question, as our nation becomes more and more divided, how long will it be able to stand? Tonight, let's talk about that.
Of America be able to stand, especially with this madness, the violence, the economic crisis, the political crisis, the military crisis that is collapsing the power structure, the base of America, the Republic of America. It is falling down right in front of you. And to you, black man and woman who are in America, who see these youth walking the street with their pants sagging, with no purpose in life, and who are disgusted and who are right now aiming their guns at each other, time will bring about a change with these brothers and sisters, and they will eventually get on course. You cannot make God out to be a liar. He said that it is time that the dead in God rise. So the word of God has gone out, and it takes events to force these things into reality. So Muhammad said to us, for those of you who are losing patience, for those of you who have lost hope, for those of you who think that America has all the power, and that the black man will forever be in a servitude position here, and that the white man will forever rule, I want to give you peace of mind and solace of heart. I want to give you a purpose in life and tell you, as God created the present heaven and earth out of nothing, so will God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad build a new heaven and earth from nothing. A people who are considered nothing, that's you and I, so that this world will have no claim on the making of the new people of the new heaven and new earth. Now we go to Isaiah Azariah. The messenger says, the universal awakening of the black man must take place. See, that universal awakening must. You don't have no choice in the matter. It must also take place. There must be a universal awakening, but the events that are going to precede the awakening will give you pause, will give you doubt, will give you worry, but know that these things must and will take place to awaken the entirety of the black nation. Muhammad says the universal awakening of the black man must also take place. He is also blind, deaf, and dumb from the touch of the white Christian, of the white civilization, excuse me. They do not know themselves. They are referred to in the prophecy of the Bible as being a sleeping lion that must be awakened. As in the problem given to us by Master Farad Muhammad, they are referred to as a lion cage that must be let loose. In Isaiah of the Bible, we are referred to as a people who have been robbed, spoiled, imprisoned, and are prey. And those who have us as a prey will not let us go. The black man must be awakened to the knowledge of self, that he is not what the white race has taught him to be. He must come out of this hopeless state. He thinks he is worthless. He should be brought into a state of worthiness and the knowledge and reality of his great place into which Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad will put him. He is to place him on top and not the bottom, because the bottom is where he is today. And make him no more the bottom where he is today, and make him no more the tail, but the head. He is to become the head of civilization of the new world, or new heaven, or new earth. Stop right there. This is why they're fighting mad, and they're giving the new world order or the new world change problems, and they want you to be against it, because you're going to be the rulers. You're going to be the pillars. You're going to be the foundations. You're going to be the leaders of a new world. Know that God has set forth this for you from the very start. And so how else can something cherish ascending to so high a position if they had not already been in so low a position? God will raise you up, is raising you up, and there's nothing that they can do, say, or think about in this day that can stop your rise. There is no army, no idea, or collection of armies or ideas that can stop what God has ordained in this day and time. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, and then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you with all his heart and soul. But that love pales in comparison to the love that God, who the Bible predicted would come, who came in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, and that love that he put in his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. I love you, and let's be strong and persevere, because we are and will be the winners. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss.
When your customers call, the last thing you want them to hear is this. Introducing OneTalk from Verizon. Now your desk phone and smartphone can work together on one number, so customers can find you wherever work takes you. And you can put your customers first, not on hold. Click the banner to learn more about OneTalk and see why more small businesses choose Verizon. Because in business, better matters. OneTalk capable desk phone must be purchased from Verizon to support some of these features. Results based on third-party study. When your customers call, the last thing you want them to hear is this.